say, man. This is really good. I'm very glad I took the rappers off.
Hey, everybody, and thanks for tuning in. I'm Doug Schaff. I'm with RE/MAX Oceanside and MakeManYourHome.com. This is episode one of the show, and this show is going to be designed to help you learn a little bit more about the community, you know, the people, the places, and the businesses that are in it. And today, for episode one, I'm going to be sitting down with Casey Hamlin with North Point Mortgage. I use Casey a lot in my business. A lot of my clients have used him. His service is great, but I thought it'd be awesome for all of us to learn a little bit more about him, where he's from, how he got into the business. I'd love to talk to him about what happened 10 years ago when the economy tanked and maybe how things got either better or worse since then. So anyway, let's go see Casey. Let's do this. All right, I made it over to Casey's office over in Scarborough. What's the address here? I just know where it is.
It's 23 Spring Street, Scarborough, Maine.
Okay. Over near, that's like called Eight Corners or something right
yep.
down the road there. So over near Eight Corners, 23 Spring Street, North Point Mortgage. So Casey, good to see you.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
You too.
Yeah. This will be fun.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to kind of get together with you, learn a little bit more about you and kind of show, you know, people watching or listening, you know, what you're all about. Just so you guys know, I use Casey a lot and his service is just top notch. He's done just a great job for a lot of my clients. So getting to know you a little bit, let's start from the beginning. Where are you from?
So I'm from Milo, Maine.
Milo, Maine.
Yeah, the big city of Milo, Maine.
What the heck is that?
Milo is about 45 minutes northeast of Bangor. And it's in Piscataquis County.
Okay.
It's got a little over 2,000 people in the town. And went to Penquis Valley High School. It's like the area school for that area. So
yeah, nice. So small town, Maine.
Small town.
Yeah.
Very small town, Maine. Yeah.
Tell me about what was it like growing up as Casey Hamlin? Do you have brothers, sisters?
Yeah. So I have I'm the oldest of three. I've got a younger brother, a younger sister. My parents were both educators. My father was a basketball coach and, you know, did it for, I think, like 37 years, roughly.
So are you good at basketball?
No, I'm not good at basketball. Not as good as
I sense. I sense a little one-on-one going on.
Let's do that. I like that.
Yeah.
No,
that's cool.
So it was your quintessential, you know, American family and we had a great upbringing. My parents did a great job with us and
that's awesome.
Yeah. And I, you know, certainly.
Now, where do you think, you know, because you're kind of like me, you're like a roll up your sleeves, get work done type of guy.
Yeah.
Which one of your parents you think kind of helped you become like that? You know, was it your mother, your father that kind of was like, hey, do your stuff?
You know, that's a really good question. Yeah. That's a really good question. Nobody's ever asked me that before. I think, I can't speak for everyone, obviously, but, you know, I get a lot from... You know, I think I get the best of both worlds with my parents and their traits. But,
yeah, sure.
You know, like my mother was a really hard worker. You know, she still is. I call her on a weekend and she's a teacher and she'll be correcting papers on Sunday afternoon while watching the football game.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah, sure.
She's always working.
So you just always saw her getting the job done. Right.
Right. And then, and my dad was really, he was the disciplinarian. You know, so
yeah.
He was the one that would make sure that, you know, that you didn't make excuses for your, you know, your shortfalls and took responsibility for your actions and stuff like that. So I kind of took that from him and took the work ethic from mom.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Neat. That's cool. So what do you do for fun, man? Golf?
Oh, boy.
Basketball?
Yeah, not enough.
Not basketball.
No, I've outgrown basketball.
Yeah, yeah.
in my late 30s here. But, you know, I love to play golf. I'm not very good at it, but
yeah,
I like
no,
to get out
I've
there.
I've played with it.
You do know.
Yeah. Although you're better than I am. So.
Well, you know, I wouldn't go that far. But, you know, I have some fun with it. It's fun to get outside. You know, it's fun to do really anything outside is really, you know, what I like to do in the spare time is, you know, whether it's hiking, you know, enjoying the outside of Maine,
yeah.
You know, Maine woods, you know, that sort of stuff. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So really it's just about, you know, getting, being around the people you love and doing stuff outside, doing stuff together.
So yeah. No, I totally understand that. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, your business. How long have you been a mortgage broker or in the business?
Yeah. So this will be, I'm going on 15 years in 2019.
Okay.
So,
all right. So, So 2003 or something like that.
Yeah.
So I'm dying to talk about this, so I'm going to jump right
into
it.
Yeah, let's do it.
So when you got in the business 2003, just a few years after that, the economy just went boom. Mm. And as most of us know, it was our fault.
For sure.
Not you and I.
No, I agree.
It was real estate, mortgages, you know, really what made that happen. What can you tell? First off, what was it like when you got in the business? I mean, because that was like the crazy time, right?
Yeah, it was. In fact, that's kind of what got me in the business was, you know, being a young guy, 22, 23 years old, you know, knowing that you could make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. In that business, that certainly was enticing.
Yeah, sure,
you know?
Sure.
So that's kind of what got led me to the business. And, you know, it was a cowboy business. It was, you know, there was very little regulation. It was, looking back, an unhealthy thing,
right.
You know, as far as obviously for what was going on. But, you know, at the time, especially for younger people that were in the business, it was harder to understand that because you didn't really know any better.
Right, and have the foresight to say, hey, what we're doing isn't necessarily the right direction.
Right, you know.
Now, I mean, we're probably talking about like the no-doc loans, like that was the biggest problem, right?
Yeah.
I mean, was it really like, hey, somebody walks in off the street, says, I want a loan, and, you know, that's it? Or, I mean, what was kind of the process back then?
Yeah, you know, you could get a loan from start to finish in a week.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
You know.
Well, when I look at it today, it's like 30 to 45 days. So
yeah.
In a week, I mean.
So that kind of puts it in perspective.
Yeah.
You know.
But it was really that fast.
It was that fast.
Wow.
Yeah. No appraisals, no income verifications, no asset verifications.
So you're literally going by.
You're literally going
like
by.
Like if I walked in and said, hey, Casey, I make $80,000 a year. Let's go buy a house.
Yeah,
and
you have the credit score, that would happen.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember calling my dad because we had a program at the time. It was in the first couple of years of being in the business. I remember calling my dad and saying, you know what, Dad, you can buy because he still lives in Milo, which is outside of Orono, and I wanted him to buy rental properties in Orono. And I said, Dad, you can buy a 4-unit rental property with no money down.
Oh, jeez.
All right.
Could you imagine?
Yeah. And
I'll take 3 of them.
Right? I mean, and nowadays you need 25% down.
Sure.
On those. I mean, those are game changers.
Right.
You know? So, you know, at the time, he didn't take me up on it because he's kind of old school and doesn't like debt and all that. But,
yeah,
you know, but that kind of
probably
kind of
smart
you,
looking back on it now, right?
Oh, yeah. But a lot of people did.
Right.
You
sure.
know? So that's kind of an example. I remember I got a loan approved based on a newspaper article in the Portland Press Herald, which is the local newspaper here. It was a restaurant review of the customer had a restaurant in Portland. And, you know, and it was one of those where we didn't verify income. And basically it boiled down to the underwriter questioning that and to substantiate the number that we had given, we researched it and found a local review on the restaurant and how busy it was, how they were expanding.
Right.
And that's all it took.
Oh my goodness. So literally just like,
yeah,
a review
had nothing
online.
To do with a pay stub.
Yeah, I found this. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was literally.
And that pushed it through. Isn't that amazing? Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
I can't believe
it.
Yeah. You know. So it's been quite a ride since you've gotten in. So, well, let's fast forward a little bit now.
Yep.
So, you know, it's cranking for the first few years in your business.
Yeah.
Now the economy starts to go.
Yeah.
Now, at the time, I was actually in the construction world, remodeling world.
Okay.
And, you know.
So you felt it.
I felt it a lot. I mean, in my business, it was like a faucet. You know, it's like 1 minute everybody's right. making a ton of money,
yeah.
living large, and right. like one, it was almost like one day we woke up and there was just like nothing there. You know, everything went away. Was it like that in your world? Or
very similar. Yeah. So I'm sitting. I was working for a national bank at the time, and I'm sitting in my office one day, and I just got an email. It said your position has been eliminated. And I said, okay, that's. You know, I
was that sucks.
I was like, well, that sucks. You know, because yeah. I gotta shut off my email.
Yeah.
But
go home.
Yeah.
But it go was, have a beer.
Yeah. Something. Oh man, it was like, yeah. you know, because it had gotten so bad.
So, what was it that the company you were with went out of business, or was it?
It was.
Or
they,
soon
well,
after.
They had basically started cutting back, and so they wanted to get out of Maine, and eventually they did. Shortly thereafter.
Yeah, sure.
So it was just a combination of the location I was in wasn't doing a ton of business, and the economy was obviously, you know, it was crashing. And so
right.
they were kind of...
At that point, everybody could feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah.
So that was something. I mean, my story basically is I entered the business, did pretty well when I first got in it, realized that I didn't think that... you know, that the loans that we were doing when I first got in, I didn't think they were anything I would want my mother to have for a loan.
Right.
You know, I mean, I really remember sitting there thinking, you know what, this, I can't sell this to my mother. This is not where I want to be.
Right.
I went to another company, which is the one I was just referring to. And then, you know, basically lost my job and was really kind of had to start over.
Now, yeah. Talk to me about losing your job. Cause that's pretty stressful in yeah. itself. That's, you know, not, you know, at that time, a lot of people lost their job. So what did you do? Were you out of work for a certain period of time, or did you jump right back in, or what'd you do?
It's funny. Yeah. So what I did is I was 27 years old. I moved in with my mother. It was about...
You're a boomerang kid.
Yeah, absolutely. I was.
You're one of those.
Yeah. Oh, and I had to sell yeah. my mother on it and her husband. I said, you know, guys, I'll probably be here just a month if you can let me stay a month just to get on my feet.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, they let me do that. And, you know, it ended up being a 6-month affair. As far as
so, one month turned into six
yeah.
months.
Yeah, yeah. So
I'm sure they loved it. They, you know,
yeah, it was a yeah, good time yeah. looking back at it. But I, yeah. you know, without that, I don't think I could have done it. You know,
right.
because at the time I needed something where I could live lean.
Right.
You know, no overhead, and I really had to reinvent myself because I didn't have any relationships outside of the office, so to speak of. I didn't have people sending me business. That were in real estate. I mean, I might have had a little bit, but nothing that would sustain a living.
Right.
You know. So, anyways, I worked. I bartended on the weekends. I would drive around open houses and drop off sandwiches to real estate agents.
Oh, yeah,
at open
sure.
houses.
So you're trying to build a business back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Doing what we all do now.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually took a job. I accepted a job at PowerPay, which was a local credit card processing company.
Yeah. I'm actually familiar with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
interesting.
It was a Monday. I was supposed to go to start my job at Monday. And I called them over the weekend and said, hey, I'm going to give this one more go, what I'm doing, you know, and, you know, I appreciated the opportunity and stuff, but,
right.
and so, you know, I guess I made the right decision, but it could have, you know, very easily could have been a different, you know, different story for me.
Yeah, sure.
So
interesting.
Yeah.
So when was it that you finally kind of felt like, hey, I'm back on track here? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I know, you know, the economy was pretty down for a few years
right.
there. I mean, really from the end of 2006 to like 2010.
Right.
I think everybody was kind of struggling. But do you yeah. remember, you know, when roughly was it like, hey, I'm back in business. I'm,
yeah.
You know,
that's a good question.
Maybe you weren't making the money that you were before. Or,
right.
You know, that kind of stuff. But when do you think that was?
I think I, you know, basically it was like probably a year to year and a half after that point where I'd kind of fallen to the lowest point, kind mm-hmm. of reached rock bottom for me. I ended up making enough money where I could, you know, I rented out a hotel room in Portland.
Yeah.
At the Eastland Hotel, they had rentals there. So nice. It was funny. Oh, it was like, it was probably the rental was probably, you know, it was probably like, it was my friends. I remember I had like a friend from out of town stay with me. He's like, dude, don't, don't let anybody know that you're living like this.
Yeah, okay.
You know, it was like a janitor's closet.
Yeah, sure.
You know? But you know, after you've gone through that stuff, you don't jump back into the penthouse suite.
Right, exactly. You know?
You live lean. So anyway, it was probably about a year and a half of just grinding and
doing what you got to do
and working a lot of hours.
Yeah, it makes sense. Okay. So that's great. So now, you know, you're back in it. And ever since then, I mean, nothing's ever smooth sailing, but you've been doing this business ever since then.
Yeah.
Now I know since I've met you and started working with you, you know, you've been at a couple different organizations. Mm. North Point, though, you seem to be really happy with. You seem to, you know, just from knowing you, you know, being, you've been here, what, three years?
About 3 years now,
With North Point.
Yep.
You know, ever since you came here, you know, from my perspective, it seems like you're happy here. You know what I mean? Things are getting done for you and all that stuff. What can you tell me about North Point in general and what made you choose, you know, this organization? Mm,
that's a good question. I talked to North Point previously before I had made a change to another company, and I really liked them. At North Point, it's a small company. It's a New England-based company where, you know, the best way to put it is, when you work in the lending business, on the inside, there's loan numbers, okay, where every loan becomes a loan number. And at North Point, there's still names.
Okay.
Okay, to those loans.
Yeah.
You know, if I need something done at North Point, the operations team says, hey, what's the name on that loan? They don't say, hey, Casey, send me the loan number on that.
Okay.
Okay. So it tells you that they don't, that we don't have, that we're not so big that we lose sight of the person.
Right.
You know what I mean? And to me, that's what I wanted. That's what I really wanted, where I wanted to work, was somewhere that, you know, that they knew that there was a story behind the transaction.
Okay.
You know, and that.
Right. They're not just solely focused in on the numbers and all that
stuff. Right. It's not about the numbers. It's really about the relationship.
Right. And see, for me, Casey, I mean, I'm going to pump you up a little bit here. But for me, one of the reasons that I use you is because I think you take that same philosophy into your own personal business. And your service is really great. I mean, like, we were talking before we started the show about, you know, your Tuesday updates, you know, and sometimes I even make fun of you when you call me. I'm like, oh, yeah.
I make fun of myself.
It's Tuesday. Yeah. So what Casey does every Tuesday is he calls all of his clients and updates them on their transaction. He'll also email or text, you know, whatever kind of communication is great for that customer. Just about every Tuesday, I get a call from you, and he kind of tells me what's going on and all that kind of stuff. And it's really been awesome, so awesome that I try to do it in my own business. So tell me about that, just because it, like, that's when I think of Casey, I think of like that Tuesday. Tuesday's the day, man. So what made you think of that? I mean, when did you start that?
Well, listen, so, you know, I built my business up, and I all of a sudden I started getting busy, you know, and I was like, man, I was working 70, 80 hours a week. I'd work all day Saturday, all day Sunday, go in the office, and that's what I would do 7 days a week. And so at one point I got so busy that I was like, I was starting to get a little burned out.
Yeah,
and
sure.
And so anyway, to answer the question, I jumped into a coaching program, and the coaching program taught me a lot about how to manage time, and taught me a lot about how to build a team to try to cater to the clients.
Yeah.
And part of that program was this weekly status calls.
Yeah.
And that's what they were, you know, that was their big thing. They're like, you know, you have to do those. And so I started doing them. And, you know, nowadays I literally will not take an appointment from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. That's the entire day.
So you block that day off.
That is a sacred day for me.
Right.
And even if, you know, if somebody calls and says they need something right away, I try to do it in between, or my team jumps on it. But really the focus there is that's an existing appointment that we got to do, because we build our name on that stuff.
Sure.
You know, and we were talking earlier about the key to that stuff is being consistent.
Right.
Once a week, you know, if you do it once during the transaction, it doesn't really hit home. If you do it every week, you know, people talk about it at the end, and it's a good feeling, You know, it's a good feeling to know that that people enjoy doing business with you and that they appreciate the efforts. So, right. You know, so that's kind of where it started.
Yeah.
And I've gotten more business from that. I mean, that's probably been one of the number one things
right.
that I've, you know.
Well, it's funny. It's funny you say that because it's helped my business too, because it's like, you know, around the office, my admin, you know, Stacy might say, hey, you know, she might, hey, what's going on with that? And I'm like, well, it's Monday. We're going to be talking to Casey tomorrow. So let's just wait, you know? So it kind of does, it helps us too. And I've had clients, you know, rave about that, just saying, you know, I'll be sitting at the closing table and they're just like, man, Casey's awesome. You know, every Tuesday. So that's great.
You
mentioned your team.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of, you know, obviously, like you're out there, you know, promoting yourself and stuff like that. But you got a great team behind you. How many members you got on your team?
So I've got basically we call them loan partners. I've got two loan partners. One is Darlene Tilton, and one is Brandy Egan. And basically, again, it was based on that model that from the coaching program to really just design a team to cater to your clients.
You know,
to have like a concierge service.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I never, you know, I'll never say that we're where we want to be because I think you can always improve, but
sure.
we're pretty good. I think we do a really good job of, you know, of the lending business is very hard because of what we've been through in the past.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, I tell clients when we meet with them, literally, it's kind of like, I mean, you got to think about it. We caused the financial collapse of the economy, our industry.
Yeah, sure.
And not only the U.S. economy, the world economy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean, what happened was catastrophic. And so, you know, the process that people go through nowadays, you know, it's just, there's a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of, you know, it's just, you know, it's kind of the way the business has evolved. So I think if you have a team in place, then they can help that process go smoother. They can help people, again, stay informed. And I just think it's overall, it becomes a much better process for them, you know, given the circumstances.
Right. Yeah, it makes sense. Okay, so three team members. That's great. You guys, I know both of them. Obviously, I know Brandy and Darlene very well, and they both do a great job. So you mentioned jumping around a little bit, but I think we'll end on the topic of what does it take to get a loan nowadays? You know, we're fast forwarding from 2008 when it was really bad and like the regulations came out. Nowadays, it's like, I mean, you ask for everything under the sun. And you ask for it more than once.
Yeah.
So let's say, you know, I walk into your office and, hey, Casey, I'm Doug. I need a loan.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, if somebody calls me first, I'm like, hey, we got to get you pre-approved.
Right.
Let's
go
talk to Casey.
Yeah.
You know, that's the first step normally before we start looking at houses.
Right.
So what's needed right away? What's kind of the process there?
Okay. Well, basically, we gather information for an application. We either do it via phone, online applications, email. We have, you know, we have four or five different methods to do that. But, and then I prefer to meet with people and sit down and go over their situation in person.
Right.
I think because, you know, buying a house is such a big decision.
Right.
You know,
it's nice to have the face-to-face contact.
I think so. If I was in their situation, and I was, you know, and I was taken out alone, man, if I could meet with somebody and get to know them a little bit, I think it would make a difference for me, you know.
That's a good point because, I mean, you and I are in the business, so we take a lot of things for granted. I think oftentimes we got to remember that, you know, you're sitting across the table from somebody who's borrowing $300,000 or, you know, even $150,000. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So
it's typically the biggest investment in their life.
Right.
You know, so if I were them, I'd want to know that person. I'd want to know about them. I'd want to see what they work and make sure
you're not working out of a janitor's closet at the Eastland or anything.
Those days are long gone, but
exactly.
But to answer the question, as far as what you need, you know, that we ask for a lot up front when we meet with somebody, and the reason we do that is because it is such a big decision for someone. That we do that for a number of different reasons. One is we want to make sure there's no surprises once they move forward. You know, that's the biggest thing is if we don't ask.
Oops, I forgot to tell. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just think that that's, I think that, you know, being in this business long enough, that you need to have a high standard for your, you know, for your quality of work. And I think you need to, I think if you're going to put something out there that says somebody qualifies for a home loan, then yeah, you should see a pay stub and you should see their tax returns and you sure. should have verified that information so that they don't go through the process spending money on appraisals and inspections and, you know, and planning to move their entire family and find out that there's something that comes up that, that as a loan officer, you could have prevented.
Right.
You know, and I just think that that's the right thing to do. So right.
Nothing worse than that feeling like, oh crap, I could have done something about that.
Right. Yeah. Right. So, you know, I mean, because the industry is hard, I think that that's important. And so we do ask people to provide a lot up front, but we do it so that they don't have to provide a lot further down the road.
Right.
You know, and that we can eliminate any of those issues that sometimes somebody doesn't understand or know that the risk that they may represent
yeah.
or a situation of theirs. So if we can eliminate that stuff up front, man, you know, it'll be that much better going forward. There's no, you don't have to deliver bad news or,
right.
or you know, or
smoother sailing
yeah,
through the process.
For sure. So,
yeah, sure.
And we also get a lot of business that way. You know, there's been some people that have been turned down by other banks and lenders because the loan officer yeah. just didn't do their due diligence.
Right, because they looked more at the surface. You dig,
yeah.
you dig at least a little bit deeper to kind of
yeah.
you know, cover all your bases.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say forensic, but we are somewhat forensic in our approach because, you know, there's been times where, you know, a parent might pay a student loan for the child.
Sure.
And that wasn't asked. And that was all it took to make the loan work.
Oh, okay.
You know,
yeah.
so those are the types of questions that we ask when we sit with people so that, and go through with them so that we can make sure that, you know, they can get the house they want.
Yeah. Nice. So people come in, you go through all that stuff, you get them pre-approved. Then of course I take them out, find mm-hmm. them a house. Then once we go under contract, you have to re-verify stuff or like, does it go right to the, I know the appraisal process is quite a, you know, something that we're always battling with as far as timing and stuff like
right.
that. But appraisal gets ordered, I know, almost right away. Mm-hmm. But once we go into contract, what are you getting from the clients at that point? Or do you already have everything you need and are
yeah.
able to move it along?
Well, you know, I guess everybody's situation is different.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it is situational in that sense. But, you know, what we do is we ask for paperwork. We start out with asking for the paperwork up front. And then, yeah, we have to get paperwork throughout the process because an underwriter is ultimately is the person that will sign off on the application.
Okay.
And what they do is they just verify the information on the application is, you know, their documentation supports it.
Okay.
And, you know, and their job is to measure the risk of the application. So sometimes they have concerns or questions that we have to get, you know, clarification on.
Right.
And so therefore it can lead to more requests.
Okay. So now in my experience too, sometimes mm-hmm. you might not 100% know what they're going to ask you for. The underwriters, right?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean,
I know you've been doing it a while and you can kind of make your guesses, but
right.
sometimes they might throw a wrench in it.
They can.
Or not a wrench, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, they can.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just like you might have some concerns over, you know, I might present to you something that you might have concerns on personally that I might not.
Right.
Right?
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
I mean, we can say that about really anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's kind of what you deal with in the banking world is that, you know, you get somebody that might feel absolutely comfortable with something that you might have thought could be an issue or could be a concern, you
right.
know, and vice versa. So, you know, you have a human element to the process where, you know, that does require a work through.
Right. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. So ultimately, ideally, everything goes smooth and then we get to closing
mm-hmm.
And everybody's happy.
Right.
That's the ideal world.
Absolutely.
That's what we strive for. Anything else about the process that you can think of that, you know, might be valuable to some people?
That's a good question. I guess it would be to... You know, it's kind of like the process is kind of like I've compared it to like whitewater rafting where, you know, if you know, I went whitewater rafting once and we had a really good experience. And then I went one time where, you know, where a couple people on the raft hadn't listened to the guide.
Yeah.
And but as a result of that, we end up in some serious white water, and it was got a little hairy.
Yeah, sure.
And so my advice to people that are buying houses are to listen to the experts, listen to the professionals. By all means, ask as many questions as you need and as you want. But to listen to them and follow their advice, because they're the ones that kind of steer you away from the white water, and they're the ones that will make sure that you had a good experience in the end.
Yeah.
And so
that's a good point. So have you ever, I always know there's some do's and don'ts that you're not supposed to do. You ever have anybody just say, hey, I'm buying a house, and all of a sudden you find out they bought like a $60,000 truck or something like that, right before closing? Any funny stories like that?
Sure.
I'm going to knock on wood. I've not had that happen yet.
Yeah. Well, we were at the closing table, and one of the documents they signed says, hey, you didn't take out any new debt since we've started this process. And the customer said, yeah, I went out and I got a credit card yesterday. And in my mind, I'm like, oh gosh, please say no.
Right.
I know everybody's kind of like turns their eyes at me, and I'm like, oh boy.
Oh no.
Well, I'm like, well, look, if you did, then we've got to deal with it. And a few phone calls later, the good news is that nothing got delayed.
Good. Okay.
It took maybe an extra half hour to an hour to resolve.
Okay.
And we did have to verify what his payments were and all that. But
right.
Short story is don't go out and do that if you can at all you can all prevent it. And if you do think that you need to or something, obviously consult with your loan officer, because it's you need to know if that would impact your ability to to qualify.
Well, nowadays it seems like it seems so easy to get credit cards and stuff. I mean, you could be standing in line at Home Depot and they say, hey, you can save 20%.
Right.
And if you say yes to that,
yeah.
You might not be thinking like, oh yeah, I'm buying a house, but that can certainly affect it, right?
Yeah, especially this, this time of year, which is, the Christmas time,
right.
A lot of people are buying things
on
Amazon and stuff like that, and racking up credit cards and that sort of thing. So, so if they do it, they just need to communicate. Really that's the bottom line, is communicate and be forthcoming about it, because the lender will find out. There's things in place that will
prevent. One way or another.
Yeah, things that are in place from behind the scenes that prevent a lender from getting in a situation where they didn't see if the customer had taken out any new debt to qualify.
Yeah.
They do a soft credit check like 10 days prior to closing, and so. There's been not always, but every now and then there's people that do that.
Right.
And the other thing is if they've racked up credit card debt, that'll show up there. So somebody could start out with a credit card with a very low balance, and if they put $5,000 on it.
Oh, I see. Like they're just out there using it.
Yeah,
sure.
That can also impact them. So
makes sense.
The easiest way to prevent anything from happening once you go into contract on a house from a finance perspective is really just keep the status quo.
Right.
And really try not to do anything that would be different from the time that you applied as far as, debt or income or anything like that.
Right. Okay. Makes sense. Well, geez, man, this was great. We'll sandwich this whole thing with a little bit more about yourself here. where do you live? What town are you in?
South Portland.
Okay.
Yep.
And what's your address? No, I'm just kidding. Go sit. Now, you're married.
I am.
How long have you been married?
I've been married, she's going to kill me.
Oh, geez.
Four years.
You know she's watching.
She's probably going to see this. Yeah.
She's going to see this. 14 or 15.
Honey, you didn't know that either.
Yeah. Okay. Don't worry. We'll cut this out.
Okay. Please
do. that's great. And how many, you got kids?
I have one son. We have one son. He's 2 years old.
Yeah.
And so it's been a really blessing. It's been a lot of fun. And, and thank God for washable markers. But it's been great. It's
2 years old, so he's walking around, running around.
He's walking around.
He's talking back to you. Starting to.
He's certainly learned that word no, and and it's always best thing about it is every day there's a new something new. He's doing something new. He's learning something new, and you've got kids and. you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's eye-opening.
It is. It's yeah. really good. So it's a fun time. Yeah. So we really enjoy it, you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, hey, man, this was great.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for taking the time.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Well, hey, guys, hopefully this was helpful to get to know Casey a little bit better. This was episode one, so leave some comments. Let me know what you thought about it. If you have any questions for myself or Casey, leave them in the comments. You can also send me an email at doug@makemanyourhome.com. And, of course, if you know anybody looking to buy or sell a house, give me a call. Thank you. Hey, everyone, and thank you for listening to the MakeManYourHome.com podcast. If you enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe to, you know, whatever app you're using. Just hit subscribe, give me a rating, share it with your friends, and then jump on Facebook, YouTube. You can check videos of all these podcasts on either Facebook or YouTube and, you know, all the other social media sites. I also want to give a special shout out to Portland Pod. They are Maine's first podcasting studio. And you can check them out at portlandpod.com. They did all the editing and everything for this audio, and they do great work. So check them out. And again, thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. Share it with your friends, and we'll see you on the next episode.